There's this weird phrase that gets thrown around here, especially in August and September, or maybe when we're working on projects with other churches. We talk about what this code language family of churches. That's kind of new terminology, at least in my experience with churches. What in the world is a family of churches? What do you guys think?
Well, we were struggling
Like
with what in the world we were doing.
most people. What?
We were trying to
Huh?
figure out, okay, so help me with the timeline, Blair. It was 2000.
When we formed the family
Yeah,
churches or when
no, I'm
Lighthouse
going back.
launched?
I'm going back because the family of churches evolved from
Yeah,
a place.
so 2013, the elders got together for a kind of a visioning process. What do we want to accomplish by God's leading in the next 5 years? So this phrase came out, we want to expand beyond our current location. That was 2013. Then we marched into this launch on the other side of town, which became known as Lighthouse. That was 2016, 2017.
And then we started out, they didn't have a pastor. We were kind of
Yeah, as
doing
a
the
core group of
core
40 or
group. It
so.
was not officially launched yet, technically, but kind of.
Yeah, on their way. Yeah.
And then Pastor Fritz came, and then there was an official launch, but we really started to explore different ideas. Is this just a replication of what we're doing here back then when we called ourselves Findlay
Findlay Evangelical
Evangelical
Church.
Free Church?
One church, two locations.
Yeah, one church, two locations. They call it the franchise model. You know, go into one, you know what you're going to get at the other. So, but then we started to wrestle with that. That's not who we are.
Yeah, it started out like we were running a video. I think we had three services at the time. So we had an 8 o'clock service or 8:15, something like that.
Yeah.
So that video we captured. One of the deacons would drive it over to Lighthouse and plug it into their machine. And so when it came time for sermon, that would get played as the sermon. And then it evolved into like, we do that 3 times a month. But it became clear pretty quickly that the video wasn't really working. You know, it's like the guy speaking can't really see who's lost in the congregation in
Yeah.
terms of they've checked out or whatever. You know, like you lost me a long time ago. And so it's like, you know, and Pastor Fritz is very gifted. So we're like, oh, yeah, let's just do live teaching. And so we stayed together for a while in terms of our teaching model. And that morphed into the particular needs of that location. And we're like, yeah, go do, be who you need to be. We don't want to dictate that at all. So
So we really were not a mother-daughter kind
no,
of church.
no.
We're more of a sister
Right.
kind of operation, but yet there's some still interdependence.
Yeah, so swirled up into this is we had bylaws at our church that were back when the church was like 100 people, all the way back in 1987. But we had grown at our location to, I don't know how many people, 400, 500 people, whatever. So those bylaws didn't fit. So we needed to rewrite the bylaws. So the idea was proposed among the elders, what if instead of launching independent churches, you know, hey, it's been great.
Yep, see
Go
ya.
get them, kiddo. Why not stay together and try to leverage our strengths? So we'll respect each other's local contextualization of ministry, because just like if you have a kid and they grow up and they get married and they move away, you're not expecting them in their household to do everything that you did in your household. And so contextualization is important, but can we get together at Christmas and Thanksgiving and birthday parties and those types of things and stay together for the cause of the gospel? So kingdom collaboration was the phrase that came out of that. And so in 2020, we rewrote the bylaws and formed the family of churches. So I have the bylaws here. Can I read all of the bylaws and constitution for the next
Sure.
45 minutes?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm only going to read one sentence,
Oh,
actually,
thanks.
just much to your relief. The Findlay Evangelical Free Church is a family of Bible-based churches committed to the scriptures and collaborating together for the work of the gospel. So that's the model in a sentence.
All right. So let me ask questions. Hopefully, this clarifies.
All right.
So, Lighthouse, a local church.
Yes.
Living Hope, different church.
Yes.
Bluffton?
Yes.
Church. Fostoria?
Yes.
Okay. And yet we're interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
So we share the same vision, mission, doctrinal beliefs,
mm-hmm. convictions sure. about scripture.
Yeah. And for the support of them expressing that mission in the different contexts, right? There's support staff or there's support work, there's bookkeeping and all that kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a centralized person, director of operations. No, that's not the right title now. Now it's operations administrator, whatever.
Trace Roth.
Administrative czar. So Trace helps pulling together systems, standardized documents, financial bookkeeping, that type of thing.
The spider of the web.
Yeah, for the family to help alleviate. And the vision behind that is like we're an established church, 36, 37 years old. We're a legacy church. We've already had these things put in place. But if you're a Bluffton community or a Fostoria, you're in your infancy, and you're trying to think about, we want to bring some more structure to this. We would like to have a pastor. We would like to have an administrative assistant. Where do I even begin? But the goal within the family is some of those structures are already in place.
Yeah.
And so you can rely on others until you can grow and become strong and then and put some of those pieces in place yourself. Or maybe not, because it's already supplied by the family. So that's kind of the thought behind it.
I think sometimes it could be a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's an umbrella organization, right? And then there's independent churches. The way I like seeing it is, and maybe this isn't accurate, but I think in a good way, we have half to the government and we broke into the tax code. Right? And we...
This is how his mind works.
Yeah, that's right. In a very shrewd yet upright way, we have used the requirements in place for the benefit of a biblical ecclesiology, a biblical understanding of what church is and isn't. And so what we are able to do is like, oh, you have to have, right? So we're one 501c3. We have centralized accounting, all that kind of stuff.
Officers,
right?
President, secretary, treasurer.
So in kind of a way, right, in the eyes of the government, we are a church. We are a organization, right? And so at the same time, we don't put that burden on every other church in the family.
Yeah.
Because like if you ever try to like start a church and go like, we need a constitution, we need bylaws, we need officers. All right. Why is
file the paperwork?
So is Mary Jo, who's 12-year-old, too old, too young to be the treasurer?
So in a sense, in that regard, we're a lot like a franchise kind of church in that all of those legalities, like I'm thinking of lifechurch.tv, like they have multiple locations, but it's just one church. So the Findlay Evangelical Free Church was or is still in existence as that church.
And at the same time, biblically, we are very much autonomous churches in partnership,
right?
And so I think that's where it gets confusing, because if you tend to have like a law background, right, you can go like, oh yeah, this is one church. This is all one church. It's one 501c3. But actually, biblically and practically and in actual ministry and ecclesiology, we're a family of churches, and those churches, each and every one of them, answer to Jesus's leadership, have their own local leaders, and then we cooperate together, and then we use the necessity of having, you know, one organization
so,
for our benefit for the gospel.
Question, Blair, why the name change?
Yeah. So let me say, let me say this first, and then I'll do that. So I just want to be clear. We're only like 3 years into this thing. So we sound maybe like we got it figured out because we might know a little bit more than you. But the vision, we're starting to see some of the activities of the vision actually come to fruition. So that's pretty cool. It's like, this is what we thought it might look like in the future, maybe. And so we've kind of arrived at some of that. So that's been kind of neat. That helps to gain a little bit of momentum. So why the name change for us at Living Hope? So there were three main reasons, and the biggest one was driven by the formation of the family of churches in the new bylaws. So we are, the umbrella ministry is the Findlay Evangelical Free Church. So we got that big umbrella, and then you would have had three churches under that. There would have been Findlay Evangelical Free Church, Lighthouse Community, Bluffton Community. And what we believed is that we being called E-Free or Findlay Evangelical Free Church is too connected to the umbrella ministry name that it sounds like a parent-child relationship. Hey, Lighthouse Bluffton, you should do everything we tell you to do because we're your mom or your dad. And we didn't want that. We wanted to see more of a sibling relationship, respect for local ministry contextualization, but sharing the same DNA of scripture, doctrine, core values, although phrased differently, and the same focus of making disciples and reaching the lost and equipping God's people for the work of the ministry. And the other two reasons were more local for us is because during the transition, we became known by four names. We were Findlay Evangelical Free Church, E-Free, Heatherwood, Heatherwood Church. And so I heard people in our church using four different names because when we launched Lighthouse, we needed to sort of distinguish ourselves between the two campuses, and it was Lighthouse and Heatherwood. But that kind of just got stuck on us. We didn't really decide it that way.
Yeah.
And so we needed a biblical name that would describe our mission. And so Living Hope is what we went with. 1 Peter 1:3, Christ is our living hope.
I'm so glad because I don't think Heatherwood would have been biblical. Yeah. It means the wood of the heath, right? Which is where you get the word heathen, which back in the day, in Roman times, the gospel was advancing in cities and the peoples were the pagans, the paganists, the farmers, and the heathens, the people in the heath. Those are the ones that never heard about Jesus. And so to be Heatherwood, we're not pagan wood, right? No. We're living hope.
Was this a day off? Serious? Was this a rest?
Or like, is this like,
Google it. What is the etymology of the
Sometimes
word?
Sometimes you have all these facts. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be laughing because then maybe he's being serious.
It was a process to get a name. All right. I might have fallen in some research holes. Okay.
The key is just say it with confidence.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Straight face. This is, I've studied this. I've researched this. There's this recent study out, you know.
Yep, thanks. Right.
So what are some of the benefits of the family of churches that we've begun to realize by the grace of the Holy Spirit? What have you noticed?
I think learning. We learn so much from Lighthouse and Bluffton, and I think we also are able to try things, and there's this kind of, it's this interesting dynamic where we have freedom to seek discernment, follow Jesus' leadership, and exercise good stewardship of what he's given us. At the same time, there's a lot of open collaboration. And so that's really cool. I mean, it's not hard to call another church in town and like ask for their thoughts and help, but it's nice when we get together and you're just able to learn from each other.
Yeah. And on like our benefit to them, we have, you know, 30 some years of institutional knowledge that we can pass along in addition to the bylaws. And
we have a developed biblical counseling ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We have a developed missions support system in place.
So very, like, each location is autonomous, but some of those ministries we do collaborate on, or we kind of benefit or serve one another on.
Yeah. And I think, you know, think about sharing resources. So Lighthouse has made it very clear they would not be able to make the jump from their really packed building right now to buying land, to hopefully building a permanent, you know, as much as things are permanent in this world, facility for them to meet in a church building without the family of churches. So that's a benefit as we pool our resources together. But we shouldn't just think of resources in terms of finances or material things too.
Yeah.
So how have we participated together with people and leadership and those types of things? You guys think of some examples that we've done?
I mean, Dave, you have filled the pulpit at the Lighthouse and Bluffton, coached Fostoria. So I think you're probably one of the biggest
participants
or a resource that has been shared.
And that's part of your job description because you're about evangelism, church expansion, those types of things.
But this is what I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
All right. I'm grateful that it's part of my job description and that I get to do it, but I'm also grateful it's not a responsibility. You know, or yeah. it's not like because if we were that top down, if we were the mother yeah. church, right, and they're under us, it would be, I think there's official position in some high church ecclesiologies called the flying bishop. Have you ever heard of the flying bishop before?
Is this flying along with Heatherwood, or is this
no,
real?
No. Okay. So a flying bishop, I believe, like, has a parish responsibility for a number of other okay. churches, and so they have to fly around.
That. Huh? I got to Google that.
Yeah, do the flying bishop. Yeah, flying bishop. So if I were officially like a flying bishop, like, I would be responsible to like oversee all of this kind of stuff in the area of community outreach, and that's just not empowering. But because of our connection, there's opportunities for me to participate as and when helpful. And that has been so freeing, yeah. so encouraging. So
you're good at that. I mean, that's how you're gifted. I think that's what you did in the mission field, right? Is you're trying to train everything that moves. So you're kind of like a bottle of lighter fluid. We just send you where there's fire, and you just squirt on there, and boom, it goes even more, yeah. even higher.
I'm an adjutant.
Yes, that's good. And so a couple of new things, too, is there's been two new churches in our area Woo-hoo. Who've come into the Evangelical Free Church of America, to our denomination, not into the family. That may or may not happen in the future. That's not a big deal either way. But what has happened is that word has gotten out about the family of churches. And so these churches have contacted us through various means and said, hey, you know, tell us about the EFCA, or could you help with this? And so one of the churches is an established church that has a pastor already in North Baltimore called the Bridge Fellowship, Pastor Mike Soltis. The other church is Salem Cass United Methodist Church, who left the United Methodist Church and has now become an Evangelical Free Church. So it's now called Salem New Beginnings Church, and they don't currently have a pastor. So we've been able to help both Lighthouse leaders as well as us at Living Hope have been able to help them with some leadership stuff, but also teaching, supplying some teacher preachers for their upcoming pulpit needs. And so that's an example of how the family of churches is using spiritual giftedness, life experience, spiritual leadership in order to bless other people and work together with them, and then they can influence us too. And then you preached at a church this past Sunday also, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Memorial Evangelical Church of Cary, which is, I believe it's the oldest church building still in use for worship in Cary, Ohio.
All right.
I don't know how much what that means, but it sounds really good.
It's true.
But it was really encouraged just to come in there and to encourage them. You know, it is an incredibly bold move after so many years in the United Methodist. You know, I just heard from stories of them. It's just like, this wasn't them. They were not founded, right? They were founded very clearly on the gospel. They have evangelical roots, but over the years, it was just beaten down with just this very soft, unclear, lack of authority on God's word, lack of clarity on the gospel. And it was a really, really big move for them to go from that and all the security, right, the United Methodists provide, instead of joining another Methodist, one like the Global Methodist or another one, right, they chose to go independent without a pastor, without a leader, and really the only thing they have is they're building their property. That was such a bold move. And it's like, you think about the huge decisions that churches have to make to follow Jesus and to be faithful to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, the decisions of those saints, like, those are the kind of people that are among my list of heroes. But as I was also there, it was just really apparent to me just how much a little bit of encouragement, right, can just show the truth that they are a new church, that they have gone back, they have recovered their foundation, and that you know what, you don't have to worry about what the future, what's going to happen. Like, Jesus has the reins of this thing, right? And that God's got a bright future for each and every one of those people. And that church is going to carry out the legacy that God wants it to have. And churches like that, they need encouragement, and they need family. And when I think about whether the family of churches is officially part of a family of a church like that, or even we can just act like family mm-hmm. to churches like that, saying, oh, we're praying for you. We're encouraging you. If you ever need, if we can ever help you with teaching or encouragement or counseling or anything like that. Yeah, so that's where my heart is. It was such a blessing to teach there, and hope to see him again.
A couple other things I think of here is I did a preaching class. I ran it twice over the years in the last 3 or 4 years. I forget the timing on it, but from those who were trained as preachers were able to recommend those laymen who have the gift of teaching and a real passion for preaching scripture to Salem New Beginnings Church or any other church in the area. Actually, that actually turned into a church down in Wapakoneta, right? Mm-hmm. They were looking for pulpit supply. We were able to send somebody down there and do that a couple of times. So it's neat to see, you know, the equipping, which is our ministry model. We're equipping saints for the work of the ministry, and that is spilling over to other churches in the area. And again, that's not really us driving the thing. It's like we just did it and opportunities came up, and so we follow those leads that God gives. Another thing our family of churches participates in, so Living Hope, Lighthouse, Bluffton, Fostoria, is the Christmas Giving Project. And so we choose a particular project, which has been named this year, by the way, but a little teaser. But that doesn't come out until like late November, early December. And then we make it available for anybody who'd like to give towards this project in advancing the gospel, supporting those who do. But we're able to pool our resources and make a bigger impact than if it was just one particular church doing it, which would have been fine, but a bigger impact across the family. So more participation together.